this long gospel selection for the fourth Sunday of Lent is the whole chapter 9 of John's gospel. And it's bookended by Jesus's preoccupation and focus on sin. We don't talk much about sin these days. Good Presbyterians can go a whole lifetime without even mentioning the word. But we humans, we mortals, know that we must deal with that. Verse 2 begins with this man born blind. And the culture thought that if a misfortune like that happened, it was either because somehow in utero you did something anathema to God, or more likely your parents did, and God punished the parents by having you be born blind. So the disciples ask a rather normal question for them. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents, but he was born blind so that God's works might be revealed through him. And then we have this marvelous story of the interplay between Jesus and this man and his obedience and healing. And let me say that his obedience and his curing, his blindness was cured by obedience to Jesus Christ. And then his dialogue with his friends, who some of whom didn't even recognize him. And his family. And then the Pharisees get involved because it was done on a Sunday and it was against the law to work. Jesus worked. He worked in healing also. And then the parents get involved and they chicken out, and then the man is called back again. And he finds boldness. It's really wonderful to see how he gets right in their face. And then, and I love the touching piece here, he's lost his family. They've essentially disowned him. He's been kicked out of the synagogue, which means he has no social standing. He has no place in that community anymore. He's newly sighted but has no skills. He has no work. He has no income. He can no longer beg. So here's a guy that's lost everything, and he sees it clearly. And Jesus hears about it. And Jesus goes and seeks him out. And he says, do you believe in the Son of Man, the human one? And it's a reference to Daniel, and it's a messianic term. And the man says, if I knew who he was, I would love it. And Jesus said, you've just set eyes on it. Isn't that wonderful? Because the man never had seen Jesus. He was blind when he left to go wash. And he says, you're looking at it. You just saw him. And he worships. And therein was his cure. The cure was the sight. The healing was his whole soul. And as he connected with his Lord in obedience first, and then in recognition and devotion and worship, he was given full healing. And then I think he joined the extended family of Jesus. I imagine he followed Jesus around for the rest of his life. So this is just an amazing and wonderful passage. But I want to end focus as we continue our Lent process with 39, 40, and 41. It began with the concern about sin and it ends that way. Jesus said, I've come into this world for judgment. I've come into this world for judgment. So that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. That makes me uncomfortable. I trust it does you also. It did some of the Pharisees who overheard him, and they said, surely we are not blind, are we? We are well educated, we are universally respected, we know God's law, we know it so well that we can
when the scroll is rolled up, we could put an imaginary needle through the scroll and name you every word on every page that that needle would pierce if it were real. We know God's word. We're not blind to that.
And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. The problem for us, and let me be perfectly clear with you, my problem is that I have things that I know are true. And often that's not a problem. I mean, operating in truth is excellent. But particularly when I have an idea and it supports my sense of myself, particularly it supports my sense of myself over someone else who does not see, who is not right, I value myself as a good driver. I drive a lot. I drive skillfully. I drive with awareness sometimes, most of the time. And when somebody does something thoughtless and dangerous close to me, I immediately make a judgment, you're a bad driver. And I get angry. And it's not even so much that somebody cuts me off, but it's somebody does something stupid in a car that's dangerous. And I get all superior. Until I do something stupid and dangerous. And then I'm reminded, okay, you're human too. Great. The question for this Lent is, can we be like this unnamed, born blind man who encountered Jesus, experienced that gross thing, but nonetheless obediently went to Siloam, which means sent, and washed and was cured of his blindness? And then his whole world changes, not for the better. And he experiences difficulty with his family and his friends. And then he's called before the state Supreme Court and is on trial. And they're trying to get ammunition to nail Jesus. The context of this passage is immediately at the end of chapter 8. Pardon me. The Pharisees have cornered him and insisted, are you the Messiah? And Jesus, using the unpronounceable name of God, said, yes, I am, the great I am, God's name. And they tried to stone him right there and then. So this conflict had escalated to the lethal point, and they were eager to find ammunition against Jesus. And they thought they had an airtight case with this guy. But he kind of gets in their faces. And then Jesus concludes it with, when you think you see rightly and this elevates you above others, that is sin. I have some other areas that I'd be willing to share with you one-on-one if I trust you, that I'm not going to preach. And each of you has areas in your life where you have this sightedness that is actually a form of spiritual blindness. And I want you to spend some time working with that. Where is it do you know that you are right and others are wrong? Where is it that you know that I've got it wired? A good indicator is what makes you angry. And would you like that wonderful day-by-day song in Godspell to see him more clearly, to love him more dearly, and to follow him more nearly? What would it take for us to go like the blind man and to be able to obey and then see and then love and worship and follow? And I love the progression in this passage. So this Lent, my question for you is, what would it take
for you to see Jesus more clearly? What would it take to warm up your love for him? And what would it be to follow him more nearly in your life from these days of Lent on for as long as we have? So I'll leave you with that. I encourage you to read over this passage a couple of times as you have time. It's just a wonderful probing passage, and I love how Jesus tenderly seeks him out, and he plays with him a little bit, and the man loves him, and the man follows him. Let us do the same. Stand and sing. Is it 323? 324. I was